It's Susie from MERP, and I am here with Corey from Living Color.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Good.
How did you get involved with Headbangers Con?
I met Chris at another con on the East Coast, and he was telling me about this, telling me and my manager about this, what he was doing. And I thought it was a great idea. I think it's really sort of beneficial that people get to know each other, and not just as, you know, as fan and musician or whatever, but we actually get a chance to really have a conversation so that the music has some sort of context, that people understand the people behind the music that they enjoy. And for me, it's like meeting, not just meeting people who are into it, but people who are creating it. So you have some perspective on all this stuff, so...
I think that's a really good thing. It felt to me like Chris won the lottery and just had a whole bunch of his favorite people around.
Yeah. And, you know, this being the first thing, it's going really, really well comparatively to, like, you know, some cons happen and nobody shows up or whatever. But the quality of people that are here and the people who are coming to enjoy it, it's a really good thing, and it's only going to get better.
So over your career, you've been to Portland many, many times.
Yes.
Is there anything you like to do, especially in Portland?
The thing I like about Portland is its proximity to everything. You know what I mean? It's got a really vibrant city life, obviously. It's got, you know, you can go up to the mountains, you can go to the water, you can see it all from here. And it's perspective because it's so high up. It's really, really beautiful.
Fan interaction. What's your favorite part about meeting fans?
Is to have actually having a conversation. You know, some people, you know, it's like shake their hand, sign the autograph, and move on. But you have a conversation with some people, and you realize, and you hear their stories, and you hear how sometimes this music has really impacted people. And you hear how the presence of music and how integral it is to your life. You know, we live in a society where you put your headphones in and you block out the world. But the thing about music is a part of your life, a part of your world. So to move yourself through the world and have something, a piece of art that helps propel you through the world is really what's important to me.
And it's here forever.
Absolutely.
Music is the one thing I think that's never let me down, that
right.
I've always loved.
Right.
And when I talk to a musician or hear their music, it's a part of their soul that can impact my life.
Well, it's how we connect.
Very
you know,
intimate.
It's a language that transcends sort of syntax. You know what I mean? It's an emotional conversation you're having with somebody. It's like, I feel this way. You feel this way? That's great. Let's connect on that level. So it's great.
And music's the audible form of emotion.
Absolutely.
In anger, love, sadness, whatever.
Mm. All of them, yeah.
Things are very different now than they were in the 80s.
Absolutely.
Do you think it's easier for a band now or harder?
I think it's easier for a band to find its place in the world now than it was 20, 30 years ago. You know, the only way that you could actually hear music is either through the radio or you went to the record store or you did whatever it was you did. Now, music is ubiquitous. The flip side to that is that people take music for granted now, because it's like it's always going to be there. It's always there. I can look at my phone. I could go home. I could talk to Siri. I could talk to Alexa. I could talk to whoever and ask them to play whatever I want to play. It takes a bit of the human interaction out of it, which is something that's really important to music for me, that I can't really do music without knowing that it's being heard. You know, just screaming into the void is one thing, but being able to connect, and it's the collaborative process of working with a band, it's the collaborative process of interacting between a musician, an artist, and his and an audience, which is really his or her muse. So it's a lot easier that way.
I feel like it's nice because there's so much music that I can hop on getmetal.org and find 20 new bands.
Absolutely.
But it seems like the recording today is you do a 10-second riff and then loop it and loop it and loop it. And
right.
It doesn't feel as emotional or as soulful.
Well, that's why you see it live. You know, recordings are one thing. Live really gives you the essence of what that music is and what that art is to the artist, as well as how somebody reacts to it.
So, Cult of Personality is probably the song that everybody is the most familiar with.
Right.
Do you wish there was another song in your catalog that was as known?
Well, to those who know, they know. They know Solace of You. They know Nothingness. They know Open Letter to a Landlord. So if you're really looking for it, you'll find it. Cult of Personality is the thing that basically stuck its head above ground, and everybody kind of embraced it, and that's great. But there is much more to be heard, and if you want to hear it, you just have to go out and look for it. And it's a lot easier to do that now than it was 20 years ago.
So the spelling of color, I know the origin of why it is that way,
right.
But when I asked some of our fans, the biggest question was, why didn't you ever just change it back to the non-European spelling of color?
It's because it sets us apart to a certain degree. You know, C-O-L-O-U-R is, in actuality, how it's spelled. You know, we're just using the original way it's spelled, and that's the way it's really spelled. North Americans kind of sort of refine things, and that's fine, but, you know, we just wanted to keep it pure.
You had won a Grammy for Best Hard Rock Performance for Cult of Personality and for Time's Up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you strive to win another Grammy? Is two enough?
The thing about winning an award, it really doesn't mean anything in the real world. You know, it means something to those people who get it, and it means something to those people who give them to people. But everyday people don't care. You know, the story I like to tell is, like, right after the Grammys and we won, you know, I got on the subway and went home. I got on the 4 train and went back to Brooklyn. So, and life moved on. So it's not that, it's a big deal, and it's not a big deal at the same time.
Living Color disbanded for a little while in the 90s. From the Pacific Northwest, grunge was from, you know, Seattle for the most part. Was that a factor at all?
No, we were tired. We were very tired. Up until that point, we were working a lot. A lot, and like took us a while to make Vivid. Took us our whole lives to make Vivid, and then there was we were in the whirlwind. You know, we were touring and traveling and constantly moving and constantly just keep going. And then as soon as we were done with that, we went right back into the studio and made Time's Up, and it was like it's too much. Just like we need to take a break. Really need to take a break. And, you know, with all that stuff, with all that movement and all that work, it's a mental drain, and it causes problems. It causes you some real difficulties and challenges to your life that you have to deal with. And couldn't do that, all the stuff that was happening that we left behind, and deal with the band at the same time. So it causes some issues, and always has and always will. And so we figured out a way how to balance it when we got back together. It's like Living Color is very important. It's extremely important to us. But it's not the be-all and end-all to our lives. We can't create this music if we don't have a life to reference it from.
That was the next question is, when doing this occupation,
right?
What is your biggest sacrifice that you do on a daily basis?
I don't get to see my family as much as I'd like to. I'd like to see my children, you know, have my brothers and sisters, or my home. I don't get to be there as often. And some people want to like that. I don't. I need a place to rest sometimes, some place to put my head down, just all for a little while. And a hotel room is just not going to do it.
Wikipedia lists you as lead vocals and occasional rhythm guitar and occasional tambourine. I thought that was funny.
Occasional tambourine, that's hilarious.
Do you play anything else?
I play a little bit of everything really, 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 really badly. Like, compared to everybody else in the band, I am a piker, really. You know, why would you want to play guitar when you have Vernon Reed around? Why would you want to play bass or drums when there's Will and Doug or Muzzy around? It doesn't make any sense. I do what I do, and I do it very well. They don't sing. I do.
Why do you think traditional, like, rock and metal has just, you know, guitar, bass, occasional keyboards, drums? Why do you think that it... Let me ask it this way. Do you think there's room for other things?
Oh, absolutely.
Saxophone.
Absolutely.
Didgeridoo.
Yeah, yeah. We use those things. We use... what you're searching for is the emotional component to a song. And sometimes the guitar doesn't do it. But, you know, a three-piece horn section does. Sometimes you're looking for someplace that isn't found in your traditional sort of settings that you can find in other things.
What is your plan for the rest of 2018-2019 with regard to Living Color?
Well, we're going to we're going overseas. We're going to Australia in December. We are then going to we may do a New Year's show in Las Vegas at the Brooklyn Bowl. Then we're going to pack it in for a little while. Everybody's going to go out and do some other stuff till the spring, and then we start up again.
You mentioned that you had kids. If
Yes.
they wanted to follow in your footsteps today, in today's world, would you encourage them or discourage them?
The thing about what you can do today is you can do multiple things at the same time. And there's resources for you to do those sort of things. If my kids want to learn an instrument, they can do it from the leisure of their own home. They don't have to go out and take lessons and that kind of stuff. They can really learn their craft that way and then take it out to the world if they felt like it. Would I want them to be musicians? I'd want them to think that they could be musicians. I want them to have the option. I want them to also have the options to be, you know, an engineer. I want them to have the option to be a doctor or a lawyer or whatever they want to be. But they have the option at any given point in time in their lives to do that. It's like that's much more accessible now to do that kind of thing. And I don't encourage them one way or the other. What they want to do is what's most important.
They wouldn't have to take lessons because Dad has some really cool friends.
Exactly. Well, there is that as well. And I have really cool friends that don't live next door. But I do have a phone and I do have a tablet. And we can communicate with each other that way. And they can take a lesson from somebody who lives on this side of the world.
Is there a question that you are constantly asked?
There is the question about me and Danny, which I've often dispelled. He's not my father. There's always a question in and around the idea of what Living Color is in terms of being black and why we do what we do. There's always the question of, there's always the cult of personality question. So those are usually what we get.
Has there ever been a question you wished somebody would ask you and they have never?
No, I want to hear what they have to say, you know, and it gives me a chance to really figure out what it is I'm thinking at any given point in time.
Is there anything else you want to talk about?
I'm sure there is, but I can't think of it right now.
People can find you and your music on social media.
Yes, absolutely. LivingColor.com. Remember, C-L-L-O-U-R. Just Google it. You can Google any one of our names. Vernon Reed, R-E-I-D, you know, Will Calhoun, Doug Wimbish, myself. And you'll get any and all information. It's very, very easy to get some information about what we're doing.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you.